And finally, as we embark upon another academic year, it's important to remember to be tolerant and accepting of all of our peers, regardless of...
You're not supposed to be in here. Give that back!
Ow!
You're not allowed to...
Samantha LaRusso.
You know what you did, and now you're gonna pay for it.
I'm coming for you, bitch!
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
Are you sure?
No.
What happened?
I don't know.
Forgot your line?
Yep.
We're just going to go with it, and this is House Podcastica Cobra Kai Edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 9 and 10. Forgive my pronunciation, but it's Welpo and No Mercy.
I don't even know what that is. What? I forgot to...
Darn. Pulpo. I was going to ask you guys what it means.
Pulpo.
It's octopus in Spanish.
Dude, somebody tell us. Yeah, we suck. But anyways, this is the final two episodes of Cobra Kai so far. The last two, you know, and we've got to wait for new content after this. So here it is, wrapping it up. And just watching it, I'm like, oh yeah, they freaking left on this huge cliffhanger. And that was already a year ago.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So it's our top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 9 and 10, Pulpo and No Mercy. What did you guys think of these two overall?
Well, like you said, man, one hell of a cliffhanger. In fact, I want to talk about that in a little bit.
Oh, good.
But yeah, it's gosh, geez, I don't know how they're going to clean up this mess in Season 3.
Yeah. It really blew up in their faces, this whole karate dojo thing.
Yeah, it did.
Sure did. Even in Daniel's, in he wasn't even like, you wouldn't even expected that, but he was definitely responsible too.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember thinking, holy shit. I mean, even this time too, it got dark. Like, there's a kid who may be dead.
Right.
And man, that was like a karate war at the high school, which I think is actually pretty awesome.
I thought it was great.
It's kind of over the top, but in a good way. Like, this is a karate fantasy. It's not a show grounded in reality too much. So it was pretty cool. It was almost like an anime thing or something, but it was heavy too. Like, watching it even this time, I felt like uncomfortable, you know. It's like, oh, I just want everybody to get along and they're all beating each other to crap. And I think that's a symptom of a show that tries to present everyone as shades of gray humans, that I feel like, oh, I don't even want them to fight, especially like Robbie and Miguel. Now that Robbie's a good guy, I felt bad. So I enjoyed the episodes, but I don't have a good feeling now after having seen them. I'm just kind of anxious.
I know. I was thinking to myself, gosh, I'm kind of finding it hard to not like Robbie. And then, like, literally right after I thought that, it was, you know, he's possibly a murderer. So it's like, right. Oh my God.
Right. All right. Did you have anything else general, Rima, before we jump in?
No, I love these two episodes, but kind of had the same feelings as you guys. I definitely had some really high emotional feelings and really feel good feelings, but boy, by the end, yeah, that was chopped in half, like, yeah, a karate, right, chop. So.
So let's get into it. What's your number three, Rich?
You know, let's talk about that high school rumble.
Yeah.
So I was watching it with my wife, and she was disappointed, to say the least. She was upset. She was screaming at the TV. She was like, this is stupid. She'd walk, get up and walk behind the couch and walk back and forth, but she wouldn't take her eyes off it, of course. And so I thought, yeah, it is kind of dumb. I'm going to list all the dumb things that happened. But let me preface this by saying all these dumb things is what made me like it. I thought it was great. So you got Tori, right? And she busts into the office, the school office, and puts a challenge out to Samantha. And the first thing right off the bat is that her challenge was to the point and succinct and perfect. And it's like, yeah, kids don't really talk like that. So there's the first thing.
Would she say, I know what you did, Samantha, and I'm coming for you, bitch.
I don't know. Sounds about what I remember from high school. I don't know.
No, they just droll on and on and on. And it's usually about them.
You kissed
me,
and I saw you at the party. And
yeah. And I can't believe you did that to me. And then, Tori, right? She's in the office. She wouldn't have made it two steps out the door, dude. She would have been swarmed by the entire office staff before she even left the office.
That's true.
So, you know, end of drama right there. But of course, no.
But the cool thing about that is by announcing it over the intercom, I mean, it was pretty fun that you hear this girl saying, and we need to all be understanding of it. Oh, what are you doing in here? That was a fun moment. And then by announcing it over the intercom, that was a way to get everyone in the school involved immediately. So that was kind of cool.
And you rumble
and to show
coming.
How crazy she is. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I kept thinking about that guy. Gosh, I can't remember his name now, but he announces boxing. He's like, let's get ready to rumble.
Oh, yeah. I love that guy.
And then, okay, so fights do happen, right? But they rarely ever finish. This fight went on for days. The current strategy on campus is what happens is if kids get in a fight, right? Campus supervisors make a beeline for them, and they rush the two kids that are fighting and tackle them. They wrap them up with their arms, and they wrap them up with their legs so that they can't move. And then hopefully if everything works out like it's supposed to, you know, a few staff members arrive within 30 seconds. And then we do crowd control and disperse everybody and de-escalate the situation. So that would have happened. And then these kids.
Well, this kid got whacked in the face. I mean, the teacher, Mr. Parsons or whatever.
Yeah, that's down the
flipped.
List.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned how long it was, and I checked, and it was about 8 minutes and 40 seconds, which is a pretty long time in a 30-minute show. It's like a third of it.
Yeah, and it's a long time for a fight. I mean, these kids were taking a lot of headshots, right? I mean, you guys have seen MMA fights, right?
Hell yeah.
One solid punch to the head, the fight's over, man. You could probably cut this fight in half, because, you know, you got to account for all the simultaneous things that are happening, but they have to show them to you one at a time with different cameras, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a long time.
That's true.
It is.
And then the only kids that were fighting were the ones that knew karate. So that was kind of weird. Like, why didn't anybody else jump into the fight? Which is what would really happen.
Really?
Oh, yeah. When there's a rumble, it's everybody for themselves. It doesn't matter what you know.
And then, so these rumbles actually happen?
Oh,
like,
well.
Big groups?
In the time that I've been teaching, I've seen two, and that's over 14 years, so they don't happen very often.
Because when I was in school, I don't remember anything like that. I only remember two people pissed off at each other, and everybody else standing around cheering them on or whatever.
That's like 99% of what happens.
Yeah.
And then the guy with Stingray calls for security when they were coming out of the office and saw what was going on, and only one dude shows up, and then he takes away the two little guys that were in the least interesting fight. So that didn't
the easiest ones to manage, maybe.
Yeah, the two little guys. One staff member gets dropped, right? Because a teacher comes running out. Hey, you guys, knock it off! And then some kid elbows him in the face and then flips him. And then the other teacher says, "Screw this! They don't pay me enough." The screw this part, they don't pay me enough. Teachers say that all the time. But getting punched in the face and flipped, that's bad news for that kid. He's probably going to go to juvenile hall. Teachers can sue now. Teachers can sue families for creating an unsafe environment.
Oh, interesting.
And then when Miguel gets hurt, like, everyone stops what they're doing. Oh, no, Miguel got hurt, you know. And then lastly, all of this stuff upset my wife, and she couldn't suspend disbelief and thought it was stupid, but I enjoyed it. I thought it made for good choreography, and I was like sitting there watching it on the edge of my seat in suspense. Who's going to win? Who's going to lose? all this stupidity allowed me to enjoy the scene without having to worry about the characters. In fact, I was laughing out loud a couple times. And now on the other side of it, we have one hell of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, man, he just landed right on his spine on that rail.
I wonder if he's going to be crippled.
Right. I mean, I suspect he'll have some recovery time and he'll be just fine, you know? But who knows? He could be dead. We just don't know. Yeah, I liked that it was felt like total anarchy, especially when the teacher almost immediately got put out of commission. And when he comes out and just sees that totally fucked up scene of all of these kids using, you know, karate on each other, I'm like, oh, thanks a lot, Johnny and Daniel. Look what you enabled here. Right. And I thought it was interesting that I'm going to talk about this later, but a lot of what fuels the conflict on this show is either misunderstanding or missing information, and because of lies or whatever. So when Miguel comes around the corner just in time to see Robbie with his hand on Tori's chest, what he didn't see was that Robbie had just pulled her off of Samantha and was trying to calm things down. And so he's, and goes for him. I also liked that a lot of the fighters paired up, which added also to the unrealistic sort of karate fantasy feel of it, because that wouldn't happen. But you get the little Miyagi-Do Asian nerd versus the little white Cobra Kai nerd. You get Robbie versus Miguel, Tori versus Sam, Hawk versus Dimitri. I mean, it just brings to the fore how there's a lot of rivalries in the show. And in the Karate Kid movies, there's more than one rivalry, but it's mostly focused on Johnny and Daniel in the first movie, then Johnny and Chosen, and then Johnny and, I mean, not Johnny, Daniel and Chosen, and then Daniel and Mike Barnes. But now that they've expanded it out to a TV show, you got to have all these different rivalries. So I thought that was kind of cool that they do that. But the Miyagi, I noticed the Miyagi-Do kids all won. Did you notice that?
Yeah. Yeah, and the first one to lose was Hawk, wasn't it? Or no, what? No, he wasn't the first, but he lost again. Hawk keeps getting his ass beat.
I mean, Hawk was stoked when this happened. It's on. And he beat up a bunch of guys. So he was doing pretty well for himself. But then, you know, and he and Dimitri tried to hide. And there was that sequence that was almost like a horror movie where Hawk's somewhere and Dimitri's hiding and turns around and then Hawk's suddenly behind him. Boo. But Dimitri slammed him into that trophy case and that ended it. And I think he was using his spidey sense to anticipate Hawk's moves like Daniel taught him, you know. But there was Chris, who the guy who defected from Cobra Kai, he looked like he was going to lose, but then he clocked the other guy in the face with a book to finish him off. Right. And with all these finishes, you could kind of tell it was like a video game. Oh, his bar ran down. It's over. His life bar or whatever. The little Miyagi-Do Asian nerdy guy was pounding the Cobra Kai white nerdy kid when the teachers dragged them off, so it looked like he was winning. Sam and Tori busted out that spike knuckle thing, which looked pretty lethal, and she cut Sam somewhere, her arm or something, and then was about to go for her throat, and she said, "No mercy," and it looked kind of reminded me of in Karate Kid when Johnny was about to kick Daniel one more time up against the fence and maybe would have killed him, but Sam blocked it and tossed her down the stairs. And you could tell that was the end of that fight. And then, Miguel actually was about to beat Robbie. So that would have been a Cobra Kai win, but then he showed mercy. And then Robbie came in and sucker punched him or kicked him and almost killed him. Yeah. So, anyway, all the Cobra Kai lost, and it did make me sort of, and I kind of didn't like that, you know, Miguel showed mercy and kind of paid the price, and I'm like, what's the lesson here? You know, I thought that mercy was good, and so you're sort of left wondering, maybe Kreese was right. Is that what the show's trying to say?
Yeah, you gotta balance it out, keep pulling it back so Cobra Kai can keep on going.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's a automatic expulsion too for brandishing a weapon at school. Tori's out. If she'll be lucky if she doesn't go to jail.
Yeah, I wonder how much they'll go into that, what the consequences are. It seems like they would need to. I don't know. Who knows what next season's going to be after this? Do you have anything to add about the fight, Rima? The big karate war?
I think you guys covered it pretty darn well. I don't have a whole lot to add. I loved it, though. I thought it was great. I thought that the sequences were great. You can tell a lot of time and effort went into getting those moves, you know, just right. They were just, you know, beautiful to watch. I have such an appreciation, you know, for that. And you can tell, you know, all those kids are pretty skilled, that there's acting there, but they all truly, whether they're, you know, had to learn for the show or whether they already had like previous experience with martial arts or something, that, you know, they all just do it really well. So it was really fun to watch. Brought back some good times from high school for me. with the fight, especially the girl fight. I'm so into the girl fights. I think the girls do a way better job of fighting most of the time than the boys. So I thought, yeah, let's bring it on. These girls have been, you know, for the last couple of episodes, really just teetering on the edge and boiling over. And this was going to happen. So, but it's interesting to see the, you know, girls get in on the action and not just the boys. So, but I loved
it.
Yeah. Thought it was great.
They had the whole, at the beginning of episode 9, they had the whole, you know, them training. They're training in the gym, training on the beach.
Yeah. It reminded me a little of Rocky IV.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It kind of showed the differences with Sly Stallone, you know, training, you know, kind of the hard way at that old, not, wasn't a farm, but wherever the heck he was, out in the middle of nowhere, you know, training out in the barn and out in the snow. Drogo was in the fancy high tech, you know, gym and was amped up on steroids. And, you know, it was just kind of fun to see the differences.
They were playing the wrong song. I don't know what the song was they were playing, but it should have been, yeah. It should have been Rocky. Da 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 da.
Exactly. Yeah.
That I, you know, we've talked about how the director of the Karate Kid movies, John G. Avildsen, also directed Rocky, and found out, I didn't realize this, but he died in 2017. He was 81 years old. He had some kind of cancer, and that's sad. And he didn't get to see, I don't know what he would have thought of Cobra Kai, but
that's too bad.
That came out in 2018. Yeah.
It'd been cool to get his thoughts or perspective, you know, on it.
I bet he would have liked it.
Yeah. I mean, the show is a great tribute to the originals, you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, you have no doubt at all that, you know, the showrunners and creators behind it are huge super fans. So, and it's definitely a tribute.
Mm-hmm. And I know the writer, the screenwriter, Robert Kamen is his name, I think. He liked it, or at least he said he did. Oh. All right, Rima, what's your number three?
My number three. Well, talked a little bit about it already, you know, kind of seeing Sam and Tori, this whole build up. I wouldn't necessarily say, I guess, the whole season, but definitely the last kind of half of the episodes, this build up between the two. And, you know, you've got, because Sam and Miguel have broken up and Tori and Miguel are now together and Robbie's with Sam, and there's this tension, you know, because Sam and Miguel, you know, they still have the hots for each other, and they didn't have like a very clean breakup. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of resolution there. So there's been some buildup, you know, for sure. And we saw some of that the last couple of episodes, you know, at the skating rink between the
two. I was a little bummed, though, because Miguel and Tori have been pretty happy together. And so have Sam and Robbie. And you're right, there, it still feels unfinished. But to me, it kind of felt like they were both sort of resigned, like, okay, it didn't work out. You know, there's still some weirdness here, but we're going to try to get past it. But in these two episodes, when Moon says to Sam, at least you guys are both over it, right? And Sam kind of paused, and then she goes, yeah, that was like a sign that, oh, I guess maybe she's not over Robbie. And maybe we should have known that already a little bit. And then it was exacerbated by, when Aisha told Sam that Miguel had brought that medal over. So that kind of raised Miguel in her estimation a little bit and lowered Robbie a little bit. And plus she was drunk. So that we all know that, you know, impaired your judgment. So all those things together kind of created this perfect storm where she was drunk and fell into him and then they kissed. And then even then, like, Tori saw it. And I mean, it's like, fuck, you don't want Tori to see anything like that. She's dangerous. And then but she didn't see where they immediately pulled away from each other and felt bad about it and continued to feel bad. So it was just another one of those. I mean, it wasn't totally a misunderstanding, but kind of, because if they were sober, they probably wouldn't have done that. And they immediately felt bad about it. So it wasn't exactly what Tori thought she saw. You know, she thought she saw like full on cheating, and it was kind of cheating, but it was, I don't know, not as bad as maybe she had built it up in her mind to be.
Right.
Maybe.
Were you surprised, Rima? I was surprised because, like Jason said there a little bit, I thought they were over each other and Sam didn't seem to show any interest in Miguel. She kept denying him and ignoring him. And then all of a sudden, the next to the last episode, she's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I still like him.
Oh, no. No, it's a girl thing. I I had absolutely no doubt that she was still in the back kind of wishing. Maybe wishing that either they had had more of a resolution when they broke up and a little bit more of a you know, done in a more clean way. But I knew she was still at the back of her mind, still had a thing for him. And Robbie was totally a kind of a rebound. I don't doubt that she didn't like him and had fun with him. You could see clearly, like you pointed out in one of the episodes, Richard, they were, you know, them and other couples just sucking face like all the time. And they did
well,
this
also
too.
She made a play for him and he said no, remember? No, I don't want to mess things up with your dad. And she was pretty upset about that. So it almost feels like, oh, she wants what she can't have. She wanted Robbie when she couldn't have him, and then she got him, and now she wants Miguel again.
Well, that could very well be true. There's, you know, a certain appeal, and they talk about that a little bit too. You know, Hawk kind of says that too. You know how you can get the girls. Right. You show her what she can't have. You know, and that kind of brings him back. So
didn't so much work out for Hawk, but yeah.
There's a little truth to that for sure. I mean, it's not the most healthy thing, but, you know, it does kind of like, you know, when you kind of see that ex of yours with some other chick and it's like, wow, you know, maybe he wasn't so bad, or maybe, you know, just all these things are going through your head. It's that teenage thing. You know, I think many of us have been there. But, you know, seeing how Sam was kind of, you know, kind of trying to shrug off that good girl image a little bit. I was like, yeah, I know what she's up to. She thinks that now Miguel is attracted to this bad girl, because that's what Tori is, right? She's got an edge. She's a little rough around the edges and she's tough. And that's what she tries to do when she, you know, her mom's like, you know, oh, you know, mini golf and frozen yogurt, you know, all this good girl stuff. And, you know, she's like, screw that. I'm going to this, you know, badass and, you know, end of summer party, and then decides, you know, she's going to shrug that off and then, you know, kind of do that, like drinking. I don't know if there's a name for it.
Make a bunch of bad decisions.
Make a lot of bad decisions, you know, trying to give, I think, herself that edge and kind of show Miguel, like, you know, I can be a tough girl too. I don't always have to be the good girl, and thinks that that is appealing to him. And really, she should just be herself, because I think Miguel was really attracted to the real her. But that's what she was thinking in that moment. And that's what led to, like you said, a lot of bad decisions.
Yeah, that's a good point. That explains a lot, actually.
When they were playing that game and they're both kind of trying to just stand up straight, it totally reminded me of those New Year's parties we used to have over at Dan's house.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let's hear that story. Or a story.
I mean, I remember, I don't know why I did this, but I was like chugging vodka. Watch this.
Awesome. Watch what I can do.
I remember being out on the front lawn, splayed out, unable to move.
Yeah.
And our quote unquote friend Carl, like, pulling the hairs out of my leg. And I'm like, stop it.
Farting, but squatting on your face and farting.
Yeah, exactly. Fucker. And then I remember Dana was like, do you need some help? And I'm like, you don't look like you're in a position to help anyone. Okay.
I got busted for throwing up on the ceiling.
That's right.
You threw up on a statue of Jesus.
Yeah, did that too. I'm condemned.
No, I think we had a bottle of Sprite and we were shaking it up and it hit the ceiling and it was dripping off, and then someone thought we threw up on the ceiling, unless that was two different.
Some dude wanted to fight occasions. Me like a couple of days later about that. I'm like,
oh, dang.
Did I get out on you too? Sorry.
Wow.
Those were the days. So I can't be too critical of Sam and Tori for playing
their
game.
No way. I still make bad decisions, so can't judge them for it.
What else?
Oh, that was pretty much it. Just, you know, these two coming to a head, and then of course it all ending up in the brawl, which I feel like was covered pretty well. It was going to happen, you know. I knew it was going to happen, even though watching it before, you know, I still kind of had fuzzy memories of exactly how this finale, you know, went down and the details and how it started, or you know, all of that. So, just fun girl stuff. That's what I like.
I mean, you know, I realized watching this time when we're podcasting on it that Kreese is being prophetic when he's talking about this war. It happened. That was the war. But not only that, really, this whole fight was the culmination of all the tension that's been building up among all these characters for the life of this series. You know, mm-hmm. That was like the climax of all of that.
Yeah. And don't you love how they teased us with the confrontation between Daniel and Johnny in his apartment? And you're like, here it comes. Yes.
Go.
Nope.
Stupid kids came in again. And it was a bit of a false start, but it was still pretty cool. And I liked how they were intercutting it with scenes from their tournament fight, almost like they were repeating the same exact same moves.
Yeah.
Yes. Awesome.
Pretty cool. It looked like I felt like Johnny was winning. He slammed Daniel against the wall there.
So I was just thinking he broke his TV with Daniel's head.
Yeah. I don't think Daniel got as good of a hit in. So I'd
only
give that
when
round
he
to
kicked
Johnny.
The door in and Johnny was right behind the door and it like slammed Johnny in the face. I think that was about the best hit Daniel had.
And now that you mention that, I don't know if it's intentional, but it reminds me of Karate Kid when Daniel kicked the door of the gate of the seaside apartments and it hit Freddy.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what was that, man? Karate?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay, my turn. Number three, callbacks. So it was really cool and fun to see Johnny and Daniel at the Mexican restaurant joking about the tournament when Johnny's like, last time I went a few rounds with the Russo, I got a foot to my face.
Everybody laughing.
Yeah. And then in that same time, Johnny said, he spilled a blueberry pie on my shirt. And Daniel goes, that's because you put it on my chair first. He's leaving out the details. And I'm like, well, first off, Johnny leaves out details a lot like that. He's just explaining
stuff
that happened.
A little one-sided.
That's his M.O.
But, right. But I was like, I don't remember that. So I looked it up, and it turns out that was a scene that was in the script but was not filmed, I don't think. Or if it was, it was just not used. But director John G. Allison had a YouTube page where he posted some video of rehearsals. And so I went and watched it. I watched that scene. So it's on mm-hmm. there. I put it in the show notes, I guess.
It's fun how they do that. That just shows how deep they're going. You know,
yeah. And that I guess it's canon now.
Yeah.
That event. This is sort of a small one, but when Carmen and Johnny were dancing and Johnny's all nervous and clumsy and she goes, hey, eyes up here. When you're fighting someone, do you always look at your feet? And he goes, no. He goes, no, you always look in the eyes. That reminded me. Well, you know what that reminds me of?
No.
When
Dirty Dancing? I don't know.
No. Dirty Dancing. When Miyagi is, Daniel's like pissed off because he had to paint the house and sand the floor. And he's like, I'm just going home. And And Miyagi's like, nope, come here, show me, sand the floor. And he does all those moves and shows him that he just learned how to block. And then he goes, now bow. And Daniel bows and he hits him on the head. Nope, always look eye.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that was intentional.
Nice.
Johnny, he mentions he has a trapper keeper with a fighter jet on it that he loved in high school. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Loved my trapper keeper.
Mine had Kiss.
What?
Mine had the Transformers.
That is awesome.
That's cool. I think I had to put it in there myself. But it was nice that he tried to buy one for Robbie. That shows that he's trying to be a good dad. Couldn't find one. Let's see. This is also kind of a small one, but at the party when Dimitri's got up with the microphone trying to tell everyone Hawk's embarrassing secrets, and Hawk says to one of his Cobra Kai buddies, all right, if he doesn't shut up, I'm going to shut him up. And the other guy says, remember what Sensei said about showing mercy? That reminded me of in Karate Kid when Daniel's mouthing off to the Cobra Kai guys after Miyagi had beat them up. And then they went to the school and made the deal that they wouldn't touch him until the tournament. So he sees him at school and they're all beat up. And he goes, hey, guys, good to see you. Sorry about your eye, Johnny. Shoulder okay, Tommy? And Johnny gets pissed and he's going to like go kick Daniel's ass. But Bobby holds him back and goes, hold it. Remember what Sensei said? We got to wait for the tournament. So it's a similar thing. Remember what Sensei said? And then Tommy says, must be take a worm for a walk week. Two more. They played Cruel Summer, which is like, I would say, well, I was going to say the iconic Karate Kid song, but I would say that's the best around. But Cruel Summer's right up there. It's when the first day of school, when Daniel goes to school by Bananarama.
Right.
And same thing here. It's played on the first day of school, but also then at the end of the finale episode, we get a new version from Carrie Kimmel.
Hmm.
And then last, Daniel, I think he's in Robbie's guest room. I'm not sure, but he sees the History of Okinawa book. And I think the implication was that Robbie was reading that. Is that right?
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's probably the same book that Daniel was reading in Karate Kid 2 to study up on Okinawa before his trip with Mr. Miyagi.
Might be a little foreshadowing there, too, since
right.
he's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Yep.
That makes sense now, too. I mean, with all the shit that happened and what Daniel's feeling and what Johnny's feeling, maybe it's time to get away.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like it is time for the series to kind of take a bit of a left turn and be a little different, maybe, because the first two seasons feel like kind of similar. Second season, maybe an escalation, but still in the same vein. So it'd be interesting to see them be a little different now somehow.
Agreed.
Okay, Richard, number two.
Number two, dinner with the LaRussos. I enjoyed that scene.
Yes.
They sit down. Carmen says, I can't keep up with all the drama talking about her son Miguel and his girlfriends. And Johnny's like, well, you know, when you're a teenager, it's hard to avoid a little dot, 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 and enter the LaRussos. There he is.
You can't get away from the guy.
Yeah, they always end up stuck together.
The only table is, that cracked me up too, the only table in the whole restaurant is like close as hell course. To Johnny's. I mean, they had to put it in the same frame, you know? It's like,
I thought for a minute it was almost
closer.
I thought it was table. Like one of those, like they're going to have to set them almost at the same table. Have you ever been to those restaurants where it's almost same shared table? It was that close. So,
And I like that when he sees Daniel, he gets the same sort of look on his face that Daniel used to get in high school when he saw Johnny.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy.
Not this guy again. Amanda cracked me up. She's great at summarizing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, they're just having a warring karate dojo. Is it just,
you know, yeah.
Just
can I have a margarita?
Yeah. She gets the, Amanda gets the Cadillac margarita. Daniel gets a Don Julio 70 extra chilled. Carmen, how do you say that? Michaeletta?
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny gets a Coors Banquet.
Dude likes his Coors.
And Daniel's a dick about it. Enjoy your Coors.
I like how it was a Coors banquet, not just a Coors.
It's special. But Johnny was, I think, even more of a jerk when Amanda said they were talking about boyfriends and girlfriends in high school. And she said, oh, I felt like sometimes it seemed like I was with a different guy every week. And he kind of chuckled at that. I'm like, oh, that was a dick move.
Yeah.
He was just laughing. I don't know.
But it broke the ice.
Daniel had a couple of, you know, little digs and stuff too. So
yeah, we just mentioned one, but I was saying I thought Johnny was worse.
Well, okay, you two, the adults, you know, they actually took over and started a conversation. I'm talking about the two ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And then things get better. I like watching people become friends. It was a nice counterpoint to the huge horrible stuff that happens later. But Johnny, you know, Johnny cracked me up. I would like the polo tacos. No green stuff.
No green stuff. He says it almost like, don't you dare put that in there.
I laughed too when the waitress wasn't writing stuff down. I noticed that right away. And then Johnny says, you know, you should probably write that down. I wonder if that was like a writer that hates it when waitresses do that and worked it into the scene.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I don't
well, it
either.
Gave him, it gave Johnny and Daniel something to agree on.
So connect that was good. On, yeah. And when they were right, that made it even more of a connection. See?
Yeah. Hey, you know, these two guys, when they're not in my way is the best way, you know, attitude or mode, they get along pretty good. I don't know. I have a feeling they would have become pretty good friends over the course of the last two seasons if they didn't have kids.
Yeah, because Johnny likes it. Daniel is the kind of guy who likes to give his friends a little shit and doesn't mind taking a little back, you know?
Yeah.
Like when he shook Johnny's hand and Johnny held it extra hard and Daniel goes, oh, you got quite a grip there. And Johnny goes, wish I could say the same to you. And Daniel laughed. That's super endearing, you know? He could have like been pissed off at that, but he laughed at it. So I like that.
I teared up. I did. I love seeing all of that. I liked it when they were kind of giving each other a little bit of a hard time, but they were trying to behave themselves because, you know, the new date is there and then Daniel's wife is there, so they're trying to behave themselves so they don't get themselves into trouble. And then by the end, you know, they're getting along, and they had that, you know, when Daniel stuck his hand out to Johnny and I was like, oh shit, you know. I love that.
Johnny said, let's go out to the parking lot, so it's a good thing he had Carmen there. She's like, Johnny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to go out to the parking lot to see if you could kick higher.
Yeah.
Really?
I like when Amanda shuts him down, too, because they're talking about, like, well, I've got all these kids in my classes. And he's like, well, it's not the size that matters. It's the you know, quality, not the quantity. And she's like, if you guys are done talking about your class size, it's like, we know what they're comparing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, they're just having a pissing contest at the table.
She's a very patient lady.
She is, indeed.
Yeah. And she's the one who always points out what, kind of the reality of how ridiculous it is for these guys to have this karate grudge after all these years. And it really culminated at the end of this episode when they're at the hospital and their daughter's in the hospital. And she's like, this is, you know, this has to stop. And Daniel's like, yeah, I'm not going to let Cobra Kai get away with it. She's like, enough with the Cobra Kai. Our daughter's in the hospital. The karate has to stop. And so it's like no more is it just sort of a wise commentary. It's like, dude, you need a reality check here. And he's like, I know. You're right. So we'll see. I mean, that's what I'm sort of like, well, come on. How can this show go on if it has to stop? But it does kind of seem like at this point you would want to stop it.
Yeah.
So
it won't. It's a karate show.
They'll figure out a way. I wonder if they'll have a new villain. I kind of wonder if Johnny and Daniel won't team up at some point and like run a dojo together or something. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering too.
I have thoughts on that for season three, which I don't know if we're going to have like a little prediction.
Yeah, we'll do a
prediction.
Yeah,
but,
in the notes.
You know,
yeah, let's do that. Yeah, I really like this restaurant scene. I remember liking it a lot when I first saw it. And it's about, I mean, it wasn't as quite as funny as I remembered. It was funny, but it's just that good feeling of seeing the two of them getting along. It's just a surprisingly good feeling.
Yeah,
it was. Loved yeah. it.
And when they're dancing and Daniel's good at, what are they doing? Salsa, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And Johnny's like, of course he can dance. That just reinforces that he's the underdog of this show.
Yeah, that cracked me up.
She convinces him to come out, and yeah, then the moment where Daniel says, what was it? They're like, you know, don't expect us to be hanging out anymore like this, even though that, or Daniel says that was really fun. And Johnny's like, well, yeah, but don't expect it to happen anymore or something. And Daniel's like, oh, don't worry about that. I'll always be Miyagi-Do and you'll always be Cobra Kai, but that doesn't mean we have to be at war. And Johnny goes, Kreese is the one who cares about war, not me. And they shake hands. So that was a nice moment.
Little do they know. Dun, dun,
little do
dun.
They know that it's all about to come crashing down, of course.
It was all a setup.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. They it's a dance. They go back and forth. You know, that's just the way the show works. Okay, where are we? Is it your turn, Reema? Number two?
Yes, I believe so. We touched on it already with Rich's number two. They're kind of talking about that dinner scene with the LaRussos and Johnny and Carmen on their date. But I really enjoyed how the girls kind of ruled this episode, too. I love that they kind of put the females at the forefront. And, you know, I think they kind of saw right through what needed to happen there and how they both kind of took their part in, you know, kind of giving... you know, giving the looks across the table, like, you know, come on, that's not nice, or that's out of line, or, you know, just kind of keeping the boys in check. And then when they get up to leave to go to the bathroom together, they were totally like, you know, they knew exactly what they were doing to kind of give Johnny and Daniel, you know, a couple of moments, you know, together, because they thought, you know, just they're so childish in their behavior sometimes, how they hold on to these childish high school feelings for each other and this rivalry that they have. And they know that it's nice to see that they kind of know that if they give them a few moments, that they'll kind of, you know, at least maybe come to some kind of truce or some kind of peace, and maybe see a little eye to eye that they're not so bad. And it gave them a moment to kind of have that moment to connect whenever Johnny tells Daniel about Kreese, and Daniel really kind of sees Johnny like for who he is, and he kind of lets his guard down and kind of doesn't see Johnny as that high school bully anymore. You know, he sees him as this mature guy who's trying to work through his issues and his problems, and, you know, he's trying to be better, and he was trying to be better by, you know, giving Kreese a second chance. I mean, maybe a little misguided, and maybe it wasn't the best thing to do, but, you know, he wanted a second chance, and he wanted to do better in his life. So he thought, well, I'll give other people that same chance that I want. And I love that Daniel finally, because he's given him such a hard time. He's been, you know, giving Johnny a hard time all, you know, both seasons about, and just snapping judgment and assuming the worst out of Johnny every time. Like, Johnny could never catch a break with Daniel. He was always assuming the worst. He kind of went back to that a little bit later with the whole incident with Sam getting drunk and ending up at his apartment. He kind of just jumped right to it again, didn't hear a story, didn't get any explanations. Johnny tried to, like, say, you know, calm down first and let's talk about it, you know, and you know, Daniel's still being a little bit of a hothead. I mean, understandably, I get it was his daughter and he was worried, and, you know, but that moment anyway was really nice. And I really loved that the women kind of took control of the situation and kind of managed the boys without them really knowing they were being managed.
Yeah. They're both sort of on edge and ready to fight, or, yeah, this is like, what do we do here? I don't like this. And yeah, the women are just calm and steady, and they're sort of,
when women rule the world.
Well, it's a fantasy, but yeah.
okay.
just kidding.
Have
just
your
kidding.
Fun.
But yeah, I mean, Daniel is in this series especially, is just so quick to judge, make up his mind, and paint somebody as whatever he thinks they are, not listen. And so the only time that he's going to be open to anything else is when he's forced to fucking sit there with Johnny, like you just said. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the women probably had an instinct, but that's what it takes. And if he would only do that a little bit more. Just take a second, focus, Daniel-san, and breathe and sort of listen and pay attention to what's going actually going on in the moment. He would be a lot better off, but he doesn't do that so much.
No. Yeah. He's forgotten his training.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. But yep, that's okay. Number two.
Mine is moments that made me feel good, because there were a lot of those. It was nice to see Daniel and Amanda having some quality time. Think the kids heard us? They didn't hear me. you know, just like after their marriage was in trouble, they did follow through on that. You see them just finishing up in bed, and then he takes her out to dinner and dancing, and he's trying to focus on their marriage. And also, when we see the Miyagi-Do students training in these two episodes, he's never there. They're always training on their own. So he's taken a step back from that and focused on his marriage. So that was cool. There was a lot of, well, like I mentioned before, a lot of the conflict on the show comes from missing information or lies. And there was a lot of truth telling in this episode that I thought felt really good. You know, it just feels really good when someone comes out with the truth, and a lot of times they don't, because it's vulnerable for them, it's a risk. But Robbie tells Amanda, Miguel gave me the Medal of Honor, I put it in the backyard so someone would find it. She's like, why would you do that? I didn't want him to earn any points with you, we just kissed and I guess I felt insecure. So he's just fully vulnerably telling his whole truth, even though he's risking her, you know, wow, you're a dick, what'd you do that for? And I just have a lot of respect for that. So, and she, of course, responded well to it. She's like, oh, I appreciate you telling me the truth. And then she was about to tell him her truth, that she kissed Miguel, but then Tori busted in.
But and she also, didn't.
No, I mean, she was about to, but.
But she didn't.
Yeah, she didn't. And I also felt a little critical of Robbie, too. I'm like, you should have said that in the first place, because you really fucked everything up. Because that lie about the medal led to all this.
It did. Yeah. It had some effects on everyone.
Robbie's mom, she, you know, came in, acknowledged that she hasn't been there for Robbie, that she wants to make things right. She's going to rehab. And she stood up for Johnny and said, hey, I don't want my issues with your dad to poison you against him. He does care about you. I know he wants you in his life. That was another kind of vulnerable truth that felt good to me to hear. I don't know. I mean, you still wonder if she's going to get on the straight and narrow or what, but at least it's a step in the right direction, I would say.
She admitted she had a problem. That's the first step. That was a good thing, at least.
Alcohol and pills.
Yeah, we didn't know about the pills before.
Well,
I don't think they,
I mean, they definitely leaned on the drinking a lot more, but there were pill bottles that you'd see her slinging in her purse, or, you know, Robbie would, you know, kind of see them lying around. They didn't focus too heavily on it. I mean, it was definitely kind of the drinking.
But it was there.
But it was definitely there. Yeah.
Okay. I missed that. That's cool. Then Johnny and Daniel, you already mentioned this, but Johnny tells Daniel, I don't know anything about vandalizing the dojo. And then he's all, and what about that stunt at Valley Fest? And he smiled and goes, that was all me. So
he's honest.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. I love it. And then when Daniel says about Kreese, you know, why would you even let that guy back in your life? Because I thought he could change. Turns out I was wrong. That's great. Just saying, you know, he was wrong at owning it. And then say, so I pushed him away. I want Cobra Kai to be better. It was just really endearing to see all three of those characters just come right out and say things that maybe didn't make them look so good, but it was the truth. So that was cool.
Yeah. It's clever writing, because, you know, the whole world's going to blow up in a few minutes. So why not?
I know. I know. It all goes to hell and none of it matters. Yeah, if you reversed it where the fight was first and then the truth-telling, it would be a happy ending, but now it's just tragic. The whole restaurant scene I loved so much, but we covered all of that. And then it was good to see Johnny and Robbie getting along, too, for once in the series, where they're sort of strategizing on what to do about Sam, and Johnny says, I need to tell LaRusso about this, and Robbie's like, well, let me just take the blame for it. They're just kind of respecting each other, and then Johnny takes him to school and tries to give him a Trapper Keeper, and Robbie thanks him for the ride. And so it was nice. I guess what Robbie's mom said just seemed to make a huge difference, because he started looking at Johnny in a new light there. And that was nice to see.
Yeah. Except for that damn haircut. Anyway.
Right. Go back to Spader.
Go back to the Spader hair.
Rich, number one.
Numero uno, the cliffhanger. So let's see. We got Miguel's in the hospital, but they keep his injuries and survival ambiguous, you know, I'm sure on purpose. So we're all biting our fingernails, wondering what's going to happen to him, right?
Yep.
Johnny loses Carmen in dramatic fashion because, you know, she blames him for what happened to Miguel. Johnny loses his dojo to Kreese. Right. Apparently, Kreese sneaks the lease away from Johnny while he's in San Bernardino and now claims the business as his own, which is a little ambiguous in itself, because it's like, don't you have to have like a business license? You know, it's just a building.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, totally. They tried to set this up. There was a scene that we were kind of confused about a couple episodes ago where that landlord guy came in and they mentioned a handshake deal and we're like, what's that all about? But now when he said, well, that's the problem with a handshake deal. But it was just, I feel like, a TV show to sort of wave it away.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch, huh?
He
also said that the landlord guy didn't like him very much.
That was pretty clear. But, I mean, Johnny, you know, I was like, well, are you just going to let him do it? But one thing that would really influence Johnny there is none of his students seem to want him either.
Exactly. I think that was what we're supposed to focus on, is that his students betrayed him.
Yeah, some loyalty, man.
You know,
but they all just got their asses kicked in a big fight. So you sort of wonder.
They're probably like, pretty mad, huh?
Yeah, that's what they said. If he dies, it's on you. He showed mercy.
Hmm. Their betrayal is complete. And Johnny, continuing with poor Johnny here, he's slapped, you know, just with failure after failure, like within the last 5 minutes of the show. And then the scene with him and Daniel in the elevator, I thought that was pretty cool too. That kind of hit home, you know, it was on the nose, each one feeling a little part of the blame for what's happened. So they just don't say anything for the whole ride.
Yeah,
they didn't seem like pissed at each other. They just seemed kind of
ashamed,
sad. Yeah,
ashamed and sad,
and tired.
Yeah.
It's like, look what we have done.
Look what that rivalry between the two, you know, has wrought.
That's wrought.
Yeah, I feel Hawk has turned completely to the dark side now, because he keeps failing over and over again, and he's just getting angrier and angrier. Dimitri finally kicks a little ass. That was kind of fun to watch. I don't know. What did you guys think about
Dimitri? Good to come into his own. I liked it. Yeah.
It wasn't as annoying, huh?
Yeah.
Well, no, I thought it was great.
It was great. And the look on his face when he was like, oh shit, I just blocked that. That was really good.
Yeah. See, Tori, you don't really know what happened to Tori. She just disappears, right? We don't know if she got picked up by the cops or if she took off.
No, last we saw her, she was like kind of crouched next to Miguel when they kind of showed him as he's laying on the steps. And after that, didn't see her. I don't remember seeing her. I know she wasn't at, I don't remember seeing her at Cobra Kai, you know, when, you know, Kreese is there. And so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wasn't there.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting what they do with her character. I mean, that may be the last time we see her, too.
You keep saying that, but I think she's a strong character, and I don't see why they would.
She should take be her in out. Juvenile.
Show,
hall,
I would say show her in juvie, maybe, or.
Yeah.
maybe we won't see her. Might just be a mention.
Spinoff. You know? Orange is the New
what
Black.
What if she would have killed Samantha?
Man, I don't know. Like, I thought she was going to.
Freaking dark.
She was, I mean, she was out for blood.
She was about ready to, yeah.
And then Amanda. She, like you said, Jason, she demands Daniel stops the karate, and the way she said it, it was like she was giving him an ultimatum. So,
right.
I'm wondering
if she's
still going to be around.
If divorce could be in their future.
Maybe that's why he goes to Okinawa.
For Kumiko.
Oh,
yeah. Next season, I heard Kumiko fights Allie. So that should be cool.
What?
Just kidding.
Johnny, yeah, Johnny's lost just about everything. And then Robbie disappeared. And not only did he disappear, he completely was forgotten about. I mean, you know, when Johnny had his little memory collage there on screen, Robbie wasn't even in it. I was like, oh, all right, well, I guess Robbie's out of the picture.
Dude. He is a shitty dad.
I didn't even think about that.
That's hilarious.
I was like, what about Robbie? Robbie
yeah. Sawyer. Miguel's just, not your son.
They just disappeared, right?
He is dying.
All his tears were for Miguel. It's like,
well, he's dying, so.
Just got a short memory, I guess. And Sam says it's her fault. And I was thinking, yeah, kind of. Kind of both you and Robbie's fault, really. And then in the end, you know, we see Johnny throwing his phone on the beach. And of course, misses a friend request from Ollie Mills Schwarber.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I don't know how season 3 is going to clean up this mess.
I mean, it's interesting that they said she's a pediatric surgeon and you have this kid who's in the hospital about ready to die. Mm. Feels like those two may connect. Who knows?
Interesting. Yeah.
Maybe the San Fernando Valley has shitty doctors.
Yeah. Fly her in from Denver.
Bring in an expert.
My turn?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, about all this sort of aggression that comes from frustrating misunderstandings and is usually unnecessary, it can be kind of a bummer, and it's a bit soap operish, and you just get the feeling that this could have all been avoided. So there's examples of that. Well, first off, Moon, she purposefully brings these karate people from the two dojos together to her party to try to make peace. And yeah, in a sane world, that seems like a good idea. She says to Sam, get rid of all this negative energy, clear your chakras, and have some fun. And that would be the nice thing to happen, but it wouldn't be very exciting for a dramatic show. But then I loved when they come in, the Miyagi-Do kids come in and see the Cobra Kai kids there, and there's this just pregnant, tense moment, and the music is so tense. I'm going to play it here.
I'll get you next.
Like, this is at some teen party.
Oh, right, yeah.
It's like,
I was like, what is this, a horror movie?
Yeah. Here it goes.
Let's go.
It just goes on forever.
Yeah, I know, man. I was waiting for a disembodied hand to stab somebody.
And then it was at the party, nice to see Hawk and Dimitri connecting over Doctor Who. What? It's a woman? And that scene happened right after we saw Johnny and Daniel getting along at the restaurant. Cut to Hawk and Dimitri. There's a little tension, but then he brings up Doctor Who. Hawk seems interested. And so you're like, oh, the people are connecting, you know, they're getting over their egos. And then Hawk sees Moon, and Dimitri suggests that he get over her, and Hawk pours his drink on him.
I know.
So it's, I thought that was clever because it set it. I thought they were going to get along, but it went against my expectations. So yeah, but Hawk's such a dick. Like, he's just too far gone.
That's, yeah, exactly. That's part of how he's completely turned to the dark side now. That was the last glimmer of hope right there.
I feel like he'll come back at some point, but we'll see. But so then Dimitri tells everyone about his nerdy past and that he wets the bed, which totally is just another ratcheting of the tension between the two groups. But do you guys think Hawk deserved that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Hawk deserves everything he gets.
Absolutely.
But that almost started a fight at the party, and then it broke up. So that was kind of a false start. Maybe like the one between Johnny and Daniel, like maybe they'll have a real fight later on. But anyway, this was the false start, and then we got the real fight later. I already talked all about the kiss. The kiss between Miguel and Sam, you know, how it was all these different things came together that made that happen, and then they pulled apart, but Tori just saw that the kiss and didn't know the context. And so she thought it was maybe worse, but that, I mean, if anyone is to blame for the war at the school, I would say it's Tori, because she got on the mic and called out Samantha, that was like the worst thing, and said, "I know what you did, and I'm coming for you, bitch."
Yeah, because Samantha kissed Miguel.
Yeah, yeah, but still, you don't have to start a school-wide fight over it.
Damn that alcohol.
Johnny and Daniel, when they fight, I mean, it was a pretty dumb idea to go over to Daniel's rival's house when, you know, Samantha was too drunk and didn't want to go home. But when Daniel's outside the door, my daughter's here, and Johnny's telling him to calm down and not overreact. And Daniel's like, "Don't tell me how to parent." Who do you guys think was right there? Was there a clear right and wrong?
Gosh, I don't know if there's a clear right and wrong, but I think Johnny was right. Like, hey, calm down. You know, don't go in with a hot head. They're teenagers and they do dumb things. And, you know, parents overreacting and pushing too far, it never really ends that well. So I think he was right to have Daniel, or want him to calm down a little bit. But
yeah,
you know, I can see, like I said, being a parent, I can understand, you know, if that was my kid, I can understand where Daniel was coming from at the same time.
Yeah, like if your daughter didn't come home all night long and then you found her at this person's house who you don't like, and they wouldn't immediately let you in to see what your daughter was doing.
Yeah.
You might be like, fucking let me in. But I don't know if he'd kick the door in.
I'd like to think I would not. I don't want to have to pay for damages, but, you know, I think I would try to, you know, I can understand the emotion behind it, but I do think Johnny had a point. Try to calm down
a
little bit.
Just,
know.
Check. Daniel should have checked himself and
tried
being calm.
Count to 10, man, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Because, I mean, Johnny would have told him, explained everything if he would have just given him a chance.
Yeah, I think he was willing to come clean and just kind of just say, look, you know, the kids messed up. You know, they showed up here. They were safe.
Right.
Everything's okay. But Daniel wasn't hearing it, again, just kind of demonstrating his hot-headed manner.
Yeah. Yeah. Then he doesn't want to hear it. And then even when Sam makes it really clear, it's my fault, I made a mistake, he says, everyone makes mistakes, but when you get into trouble, you come to me or mom, not that guy. So he's just bringing that grudge right back to the surface again. Let's see. Then Carmen and Johnny, she said to her mom when she was getting ready for her date, you know, I'm not sure about this guy. So we can see that she likes him, but I think that hesitant impulse comes from seeing that, you know, since Miguel's been studying under Johnny, he's been a lot more aggressive. So she's not sure about that. And then by the end, she never wants to see him again. I never want to see you again. And, you know, before Miguel met you, he avoided fights. And I'm sort of like, well, you kind of have a point. But then again, there was that bully, Kyler, who needed dealing with. So,
I'm glad he just kind of disappeared off the show. We haven't had to see him.
So after their date, Johnny goes back to his apartment alone and says, oh, man, I should have invited her over. Do you think she would have come? Think she would have gone over to his apartment if she invited him in?
I don't think so.
I mean, if he invited her in?
Hmm.
No. Maybe. What do you think, Rima?
Would she have come in and maybe had a little bit of a makeout session? Maybe. Would she have stayed the night? I don't see her doing that, but I think that, you know, having a nightcap and, you know, a little bit of making out, I could see that happening. There's potential.
Okay, I'm making notes here. Just kidding. That's cool. It was funny because her mom said in Spanish, have a good time. Don't knock her up.
Knock her up. Yeah.
And Johnny's funny. Like, thank you.
Thank you.
So adorable.
So, what about notes, Rich?
Rima, I don't think Rima's done her number one yet.
No.
Oh, shit.
I didn't.
Oh, neither have I. Did I?
Yeah, you just did.
Unless that was yours.
Oh, shit. I took over. I'm sorry. God, I'm a jerk. Sorry. I've been drinking whiskey.
It's okay. Well, I have two. Not whiskey, but yeah, I have two. It's fine. I wasn't going to interrupt. I mean, I don't have a whole lot to add. I just, talking about the ending, though, you guys have covered it pretty well. And Rich, you did a really good summary of, like, those last, you know, minutes and stuff. But what really made me sad with all of that was seeing Johnny end up kind of where we started with him in season one, the first episode. Mm. And it broke my heart because I feel like he has tried so hard and he has had this uphill battle and he's had everything against him and he was doing really well. He was opening up a successful dojo. He's definitely had some misguided moments. There were some moments that, you know, were not his, I don't think, proudest, you know, with how he was, you know, leading the kids and the, you know, strike first and, you know, no mercy and things like that. But he was really kind of learning from those ways and learning, man, that's not the right way to do things. And he was trying. He's just a little slower to get there. And to see him come down so hard, you know, after, you know, really coming along, you know, so I don't know how much time has passed. I was trying to think of how much time has passed from season one into the season two finale. I don't know if I'm real clear on that, but you know, he did so much and tried so hard, and to see him back down on his luck just sucked. I hated that because I'm really rooting for him.
Were they in school in season one?
I think they were in summer.
Yeah. So I feel like this whole thing has just been over one summer. Maybe.
Okay, that would make sense.
Man, they've gotten really good at karate over just like 3 months.
I'm telling you, these kids, you just, it's so, I mean, you just gotta, like you said, it's a fantasy. You gotta kind of let that go. I mean, hell, I've been at it for a year and I'm only halfway to my black belt. So, I mean.
That's pretty good. So, yeah, like it's a little weird because Johnny's growth arc has been about moving away from this aggressive, dirty fighting attitude where you strike first and you show no mercy to having honor be the important thing. And sometimes you do show mercy. And that seems like a really noble growth, way for him to grow. And then it sort of devalued all of that by having Miguel remember what Johnny said, show mercy, and then almost get killed because of it. And so I really hope that, you know, I'm really assuming that Miguel's going to wake up and have some recovery time, but be okay. And I hope he doesn't react to that like, oh, Johnny, you let me down, you know, I'm going to crease or whatever. I think what would be cool is if he says, no, man, even though that happened, I'm still glad that I did that. You know, I did the right thing. We'll see.
Ooh, maybe Daniel's going to take Miguel to Okinawa.
Yeah. I was totally thinking this would be the time for them to do what I was hoping they would do and switch teachers. It looks like Daniel doesn't trust Robbie anymore. And so Robbie's back in, you know, with Johnny. So maybe he'll go to Cobra Kai. Who knows? And maybe Miguel and Daniel will hang out, and it would be really interesting to see their dynamic because they really haven't spent any time together at all. But yeah, you're saying for healing, that's an interesting idea.
Boy, there's so many possibilities. But Kreese has control of Cobra.
That's right. Yeah, good point. Who knows? Maybe Johnny will start up like the Bright Daisy Karate Studio or something.
Cobra Kai 2!
2.0.
Okay, Rich, notes.
All the parents are out, and a girl named Moon is having a party. What could go wrong? That was my thoughts on that.
Nothing at all.
I like Moon. I like her delivery, and I like when she was talking about the party and her parents aren't going to be home, and Sam's like, oh, that'll be good. And she's like, yeah, it's going to be wild. It'll be wild. She wasn't like, yeah, it's going to be wild. She was like, yeah, it'll be wild.
She's definitely a little bit of a modern day, you know, hippie.
Hippie,
you know?
Yeah. That's what they're going for with her. Yeah.
The only other note I see is Hawk, when he went to, when Demetri told him he should just forget about Moon, and then he decided to go talk to Moon. And Moon came up and kissed her girlfriend there. I was like, Hawk, strike first, get floored.
Yeah, and he's still like, for him. What did he say about never, defeat does not exist? It's like, dude, give it up.
You're defeated like every episode.
Yeah. I mean, there is, you know, something to be said for persistence and keeping trying, but sometimes you also just have to know, no, this is, she doesn't want you.
Yeah. And then at the beginning of episode 10, when Daniel and Amanda were trying to find Samantha, they knew how to track her down. That was impressive. Mom knew her password on the computer to find out what they're talking about. And then Dad had her tracked on the phone. I was like, oh man, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. It made me feel like kind of a shitty parent.
Definitely an opposite to Johnny being so inept with technology.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a switch there with his smartphone answering machine.
If you have iPhones, there's this thing called Find My iPhone, where if you, people opt in to be trackable by each other, you just tap their name and they show up on a map.
Yeah, you have to have it turned on or enabled, right? It's not just you can find anyone, but yeah, if it's enabled.
Yeah, and if your buddy has an iPhone and you want to, you can ask for a request for them to be visible on your map just for a day or something, so they won't be stalking you, but just like if you're out, you know, going somewhere together or something, so you won't get lost.
That's cool.
Oh, it's
I got shitty T-Mobile, and you have to pay that for that service.
It's a good thing to have too. Like, you know, girls kind of checking in on their girls when they go out with guys that, you know, kind of, you know, always know where they're at.
Why is she out in the country? That's weird.
Yeah. Why is she out in the middle of the field? Yeah.
Why is she crossing the state line? Yeah, you're right, Rima. And then right after, was it right after that? Or maybe it was just before that, but, Johnny was looking at his smartphone and it had another new update.
Yeah.
He's like, I got a new update. I just got this thing.
And his message is, hi there, you've reached the smartphone answering machine of Johnny Lawrence.
Yeah, I love that. And Miguel Rose's eyes like, oh God, you know.
And speaking of technology, I was thinking, you know, Sam and Moon are casually having this video call. In 1985, we would think that was so futuristic.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I got a smartwatch now, and, you know, you can answer your phone on it and talk into it, and I'm like, Star Trek!
Yeah.
Absolutely. Pretty cool.
That's it for my notes. Yeah, I don't have any more.
What do you think of Stingray in all of this? Yeah.
It was kind of annoying.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I know some of the listeners like him, though. So yeah. So that's good. At least someone does. Yeah.
It's, yeah. I mean, I don't know. He was just a little annoying. I didn't get what was with the beard duct tape to his hands. Is that a thing? Did you guys see that?
I thought that was kind of funny.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I mean, it's just that kids do dumb things at parties.
He's not a kid, though.
Like
he's an
35
adult.
Or whatever.
Like when he shows
it
up.
It seems a little cliche, that's all.
Yeah, he's got this girlfriend that, or this girl he brings to the party, and she's like, I thought we were going to your friends. I was like, these are my friends. Their
yeah,
parents
are
aren't
friends.
Home. And it's like, what? Gosh.
Whatever. But the whole security guard thing, I'm like, what is this? It's just goofy.
Yeah.
Anthony's home. I guess he was
at
camp.
Thank goodness. Oh,
they found
a good way to get rid of that brat for most of season two.
It makes me, I mean, I guess they didn't have a good storyline for him or something. It makes me wonder if they're regretting having the character, because if not, they need to give him something to do.
Besides play video games and eat all the time.
Yeah. All right. What about predictions or hopes for season three? Anything?
Man, well, since we mentioned it earlier, I keep having them pop in and out of my head.
Yeah.
I don't know which one to use.
Well, say them all.
Say throw them all out there. One of them's got a stick.
Somebody else go first.
I'll go first if you want to think about it a little bit, and then Jason can kind of sum it up because he's always got some good ones. So and I hope this isn't like really too spoilery because we've talked a little bit about the it wasn't really full trailer. But that tiny little season three teaser that we got when they released seasons one and two, and they were showing the trailer for them on Netflix. And then we had that tiny little teaser and we kind of get the feeling that, yes, and we've talked about it, that Daniel is probably going to be in Okinawa. for some, or at least I hope for some time. I hope it's not just one episode. I hope it's for, you know, at least a handful of episodes.
And it seems like Chosen is there, and they say Miyagi has some secret or something.
Yes. So I'm wondering, and I'm kind of predicting that with this turn of events, you know, Kreese has taken over Cobra Kai, Daniel's in Okinawa, that Johnny takes over Miyagi-Do. With Daniel's blessing, he has him come in to kind of, will you see over Miyagi-Do? Even though, I mean, that may not work out. I know Amanda was like, no more karate and that whole thing, but I don't know. I'm just kind of wondering. I feel like,
yeah, I can see that happening.
We still have to have like some karate in here because this is kind of what the show is. Right. So I'm just throwing that out there. I have no clue if I'm right, but it sounds good to me. And that's really all that and Allie. I so want Allie to come back.
I know. So when Johnny was in, William Zabka was in an interview and he seemed pretty excited about season three. I mean, the actors always seem to, but it seemed really genuine to me. So hopefully that means it's exciting and good. And also I would assume if he's excited about it, that means he's in a lot. So I could totally see that happening. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's cool. All I've got.
That was a good one. Allie has to come back.
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
She has to. Look how much they've been teasing it. I mean, if they don't bring her back, that's messed up, man.
If they don't, then it's because Elizabeth Shue didn't want to, or they couldn't come to an agreement on a contract or whatever.
Or scheduling, maybe. They always say that as an excuse. They're contracted with someone else or it's another show, and they couldn't work around the schedule or something.
It would be a letdown if, I feel like especially if, since they put that in at the very end, you know, where they probably had an agreement in place. That's my suspicion. Yeah. So you heard it here first. Allie's back.
I feel really confident about it. I mean, they just can't go throwing that crap out there.
I hope so. I know. That would be lame.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool, too. I love it. Yeah, and it was great to see her in The Boys, and it just made me think it would be great to have her back in Cobra Kai even more.
Yep.
Well, she's not busy with that show anymore.
Spoilers. I already said all of mine, that I think, you know, Allie might help Miguel, that I think Robbie and Miguel might switch teachers between Johnny and Daniel. That'd be interesting to see what happens in Okinawa. I don't really have any predictions for that, except maybe something to what you said, Rich, about going there for healing for Miguel. But otherwise, I don't know. My big hope is that it's good and that it's goes off in a little bit of a different, unexpected direction than the first two seasons. I think that would be cool.
Okay. Yeah. Sharp right turn.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm feeling that. I like what you said, Jay, about Allie coming back. I think maybe what will happen is Johnny will find the friend request, right? And then Miguel's not doing so hot, so he Johnny gets Allie to come and save Robbie. I mean, save Miguel, right?
Yeah.
She's a pediatric surgeon, and then while she's there, all hell's gonna break loose. Maybe Johnny and Daniel go back to the high school rivalry, and maybe Allie's husband is like some sort of like superstar karate dude. And so
right,
I would really.
She goes with those.
Danny,
types.
Yeah, Daniel and Johnny have to team up, kick his ass, right? And then of course there's a fallout on who gets Allie, because you know winner always gets the girl, and so Daniel, you know, gets in trouble with his wife, so he has to go to Okinawa.
I like all of that. I like that idea. I like the idea of Johnny trying to get Allie to come. And say that, I thought that was a really good idea and a really smart prediction. But I would also love to kind of see, since we've gotten a little glimpse of Daniel and Johnny getting along a little bit in this final episode, just for a few minutes, that they still kind of are able to come back to a little bit of a truce. Maybe they're not best friends, but they've come to an agreement. They've come to a truce because of what happened here in this episode, that they're like, you know, damn, what we did wasn't great. We need to do better. And that there's going to be a new villain. I feel like Kreese is probably going to be around, right? He's not going to go away.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
I also think there's going to be a new baddie. I wonder if Terry Silver might make an appearance and be like the new baddie.
I would love that.
And it would be Daniel and Johnny kind of teaming up against Terry Silver and Kreese.
You know, one thing, I mean, that sounds great about Johnny and Daniel being friends and everything. But the thing about drama is that, you know, emotionally we want that. But it makes for a better show if they're still rivals, I think. Like as a writer of fiction, the hard thing to do is to put your characters through hell because you instinctively want nice things for them, but then you have some really boring stories. That's why I was never a very good writer, because I couldn't bring myself to, you know, have a lot of conflict and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but you kind of need it.
You're right. I don't know. I don't really mean for them to like be good friends or best friends, but, you know, maybe reluctant friends, or maybe just even agree to a truce. Like, not much has changed, but maybe they have a truce and they've just agreed to like.
Maybe
drop.
It'd be better for them to be enraged at each other.
Yeah, and I don't know. It could be great. I'm not. There's a reason I'm not a writer too. So, I mean,
I guess, you know, those moments of reconciliation feel really good because of the tension that's been built up before that, so that it relieves that tension. But then you have to build the tension up again and then have it relieved. And if it's just all tension relief, then there's no more tension and it's just kind of dull, you know? So you want to feel the relief, but you got to have the tension first.
Yeah, that's a good point, Rima. You can have them team up out of necessity, and then afterwards go back to being enemies.
Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah, like I said, they could come together for a common goal, because if they both have this commonality of Kreese or Terry Silver being in season three, then they both are like, they kind of, like you said, reluctantly kind of come together to fight a common enemy, and then, then break.
Then they'd have to have some reason to like hate each other again.
Allie.
Daniel's a hothead. Right. Or Allie's going to come back, and that's going to come between them again. That's going to bring back all those high school feelings of, you know, what went down in the first movie.
And don't forget, Daniel's a hothead, but Johnny goes into auto dealerships and assaults the employees.
Yeah.
So did Daniel when he kicked the boba tea out of what's his name's hands.
Would you rather have a boba tea kicked out of your hand or get punched in the ribs?
Well, and kidneys.
I've been punched
and
in the ribs
kidneys repeatedly.
So.
Okay.
No, that was a dick move. So yeah, you're right.
Anything else?
I think we stuck it, man.
All right. Cool. Yeah, man, that's it. Well, let's not end it yet, because we have news and listener feedback. So we'll just take a little break, but there's more to come. Stay with us. We're back, and it's time for the news.
So just a few small items this week. There really hasn't been a whole lot of news. Still no news on exactly when season three is going to come out. I'll just throw that out there, even though I don't have any news about it. We only know it's 2021. No clue yet, but I'm sure that as soon as we know, I'm sure Jason will be pushing that out on social media and, you know, shouting out to the world. So no news on that yet.
Yep. By the way, if you haven't gone to facebook.com/housepodcast and liked the page, if you want to keep up with what we're doing, and, you know, also like we put up posts on each episode, you can comment on them or whatever. It's a cool thing to, you know, be connected to. So that's facebook.com/housepodcast.
Yeah. And there's usually some pretty good conversations with everyone, you know, talking about the episodes and different things happening. So, yeah, good idea. So one item that I have, just a quick little snippet of an interview that Ralph Macchio did when he was on Conan O'Brien recently, just a little bit of a tease about season three. So if we've talked about season three and the teaser and kind of what we think is going to happen and stuff. So if I don't know if this is too spoiler, if you don't want to hear it, feel free to skip ahead. But what he says is he said, I have been to Okinawa for some shooting of Cobra Kai season three. He said, which I cannot talk too much about. He said, I can say it dives into the origin of Miyagi-Do karate. We learn a little bit, some secrets of past history that is new to the audience and to LaRusso, my character. And we actually went to Okinawa to shoot, which is kind of meaningful because we know in Karate Kid, you know, they went to Okinawa in the movie, but they didn't really go to Japan or Okinawa. They were in Hawaii. So they actually went to Okinawa to shoot for season three.
And I heard the secret is Miyagi was an assassin.
Oh, okay. Well, so, then there you go. We don't need to watch. So. That-
What? Miyagi was an assassin?
Just kidding. That's where the origin of his karate.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And one other little item that I have, this was in a in recent interview with Collider with William Zabka, who we know plays Johnny Lawrence. He dropped a few hints about season three, including a potential time jump, which could put his character in a very different place from where we last saw him. So what he says, he says, I could tell you what I felt at the end of last season, how painful it was, really, how viscerally painful it was to hand the keys over to Kreese and to see Miguel in the hospital. He said there was this hopelessness and there was no season three script. I didn't know where it was going to go. So the dead end was right there and throwing the bottle against the car. So I kind of came into season three at that point. He says, I think Johnny is growing, but he's definitely going to have some downs and some ups and some downs and some ups and some sideways. He wasn't doing too well at the end of season two. And, you know, it picks up a little bit later in time after season two, season three does. So you're going to meet the result of what those events would do to someone like Johnny Lawrence.
Oh.
So I don't know. A little speculation there. Who knows? But just a little bit of teasing without hopefully being too spoilery on what we might be able to expect in season three when it friggin' gets here.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's all I've got.
All right, cool. Let's move on to some listener feedback.
Matt Mann writes in, I sometimes think about real world consequences when watching stuff. In today's zero tolerance world, the news headline would be 20 students expelled after massive karate brawl. Or if we're running a clickbait site, you won't believe what the kids did to get expelled. Click to find out. Would have to make part of the karate program studying for the GED. Strike first, study hard, no mercy. Also, Paul Walter Hauser is awesome. Keep up
that's
the fun
Stingray.
Work.
Yeah, that's Stingray.
See, Matt Mann likes him. You know, actually, Matt, I would click on 20 students expelled after massive karate brawl first.
I think I would, too.
I would click on that right away.
That's my clickbait.
Yeah. Thank you for writing in. That was awesome.
Yeah. Dublino Bob Grippy says, I like Stingray. When he hides under the leaves only to choke Miguel, or when he had the bottles duct taped to his hands, hashtag manchild.
Stingray's got some fans.
Yep. Alicia Stout says, so here's what I think about how Ali will come into season three. Miguel is laid up in the hospital in critical condition after the big showdown at the school. Ali, being the pediatric doctor that she is, will be his doctor because he will need a specialist of, and she will have to be flown in from Denver. Thoughts? Yep. I think there's been a lot of speculation about that. But I mean, I don't know for sure if that's what's going to happen, but it's possibility.
Yeah, it seems like a popular prediction.
I think they have just really sowed those seeds, you know, just really planted those really well. So it would make sense, and I'd be extremely disappointed. That's not how it turns out.
Yeah. Amelie Rochette says, unfortunately, I can't really comment. I'm not caught up on episode 4, season 2. While I like season 1 better, I'm totally enjoying season 2 so far. Three words, Johnny and the internet, smiley face. On a more serious note, I don't mind that this season is more about the teenagers, but I'd like to see more interactions between Daniel and Johnny. Apparently, there will be more, according to your post. Can't wait to get there, and I'll be on board for what comes next. The Mandalorian.
Yay! All of us will be.
Yeah, we had some good interactions with those two in these two episodes right here. And, Yeah, I definitely like season two, all said and done, much better than I did the first time I saw it. And I'd say it's pretty close to season one for me, but still not quite up to season one.
Yep. Gemma Hall says, my 11-year-old niece texted me and said, not Miguel. I guess he's the new Daniel LaRusso crush of this era. I do hope he's okay, though. I enjoyed the fight scene, even though I felt it was a bit prolonged and that Tori is one crazy person. I had to laugh when Stingray Karate chopped all the kids in the hallway like a boss. I'm so looking forward to season three. What will happen? Will Johnny get his dojo back? Has Daniel lost Miyagi-Do? Looking forward to finding out.
Like a boss.
He's been paying attention, so he wasn't just a goofball.
And Christina Spinney says, all I have to say is if Miguel dies, we riot. Mm.
We're not gonna take it.
And then we got a couple of calls. We got one from Steve Brown.
Hey, Richard, Rima, and Jason. This is Steve. This is for the 9th and 10th episodes of Cobra Kai season 2, and wow, just finished watching them back to back. And I'm trying to think now why people said this was not a good season. I mean, yeah, there's a little over the top kind of things, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, that fight in the school went a little bit longer than I think in reality it would have gone, like the cops would have shown up or something. You know, it wouldn't have gotten to that point, but of course then we wouldn't have a show if it didn't go on that long and be that extensive. It was great to see the Dimitri doing his kick, because I read somewhere that the actor is really into Krav Maga, so that was kind of cool to get him to see him kind of get to use that against Hawk. And that scene in the party there in 9 was again, it was kind of nice to see Sam get one up on Tori, even though, you know, she got drunk and it's not really probably the best thing. But yeah, and it was interesting when Robbie came clean about the medal, and why he did it. But of course now with the way the season ended, we don't even know where Robbie's at. That little teaser there at the end with, Johnny throwing his phone away, and then we get to see that it's a friend request from Allie, makes me think maybe she is in season 3. I don't know if anybody has made any confirmation of that or not yet, but it might be interesting. It would definitely be cool if she is there in season 3. And yeah, I can't wait to hear how you guys round out the season, and can't wait for the next one. All right, talk to you later.
We didn't say it wasn't any good. We just said we didn't think it was as good.
I think you did.
I didn't say that.
I didn't say nothing.
I never said that. And then we got a call from Greg Schwamm, who told me that he decided to call in and leave his thoughts about, I think, the series as a whole, or maybe just this season. Let's find out.
Hey, Rima, Richard, and Jason. This is Greg, talking about the last couple episodes of Cobra Kai Season 2. This was a rough couple episodes. There were like feel-good moments, possible reconciliations, and then the most Empire Strikes Back moment of the series. Like, I thought the double date reconciliation was a lot of fun to watch, with the women being like the voices of reason, but honestly, Johnny and Daniel were irritatingly grating while like still rubbing at each other about being butthurt and having a lot of frustration and whatnot. And, oh, hey, look at that. We're actually real people, and we can get along if we so choose. I mean, but the female leads totally stole these scenes, and they have my vote for custody of the kids in the event that either of them just split up. Keep seeing karate be the, like, end-all, be-all way to settle every teen dispute in the valley. I get it. Tori thinks Sam has a silver spoon up her ass and has been given everything. But I'm not sure how she feels that hunting down Sam and, in the best case, kicking her ass on the first day of school is going to do anything besides get Tori expelled. Teen hormones? Just poor choices? We get it. Sam kissed your guy. Hunt her down in the parking lot after school. Get your Cobra Kai mates to jump her on the way to her car. In the school, you just have so much more to lose. And now on to the final 15 minutes, which felt like 30 minutes of a 29-minute episode. the school-wide brawl. I thought the choreography was pretty well done, and like the face-off of the former friends, forever enemies, and 11-year-old boys was a lot of fun to watch. Until the end. Something I noticed about this entire show was that it's all about what the character of interest does or doesn't see. And it seems to be a holdover from the original movie as well. Daniel doesn't see Allie punch Johnny after he kisses her. Miguel doesn't see Tori attack Sam, just sees Robbie look like he's about to wail on Tori. And if people would just stop punching, kicking, tackling, and just settle the fuck down without hearing people out, you wouldn't end up in a lot of these positions. You also wouldn't have a lot of the dramatic effect and a much less intense TV or television experience, but it still frustrates the shit out of me. I am fucking heartbroken. Looking at Miguel laying on the stairs was like watching the cut to black after the Red Wedding. Literally made me sick to my stomach. The aftermath of watching the equivalent of seeing Daniel's broken body at the end of the Karate Kid. It made the rest of the episode anticlimactic. It was just like one thing after another and after another. Oh, the mother of your surrogate son bans you from ever seeing you again, assuming he's not dead? Your other students telling you that your favorite disciple is basically killed by your biological son because of your teachings and your failings? That's some heavy-ass shit. I'm shocked that the final scene wasn't him walking into the ocean and just killing it. I guess, yeah, I get it. Cobra Kai never dies. But, dark. Like, dealing with those, I guess he's just dealt with that failure for a long time. I don't know. Basically, what it seems to come down to is that the finale to Cobra Kai Season 2 was the 2020 of season finales, and just sucks. I mean, very well done and whatnot, but yeah, just let me feel left me with a really shitty feeling. Anyway, look forward to hearing the podcast. Talk to you guys later.
I mean, I agree. That's how I opened up this podcast, saying the whole thing made me feel kind of anxious and it was heavy, you know. Yeah. Like there was a lot of feel good moments, but by the end it was like, fuck, that is dark.
That's funny. Add this show to the, add this finale to the list of 2020.
Absolutely. 2020.
I did think of one thing while I was listening to that when they fought in the mall a couple episodes ago, Dimitri and all the Cobra Kai, and then Sam and Robbie came in and saved them. And we were saying how, if it was real life, everyone would have their phones out filming it. That did happen in this battle. If you noticed, all the kids were like filming it.
Yeah. That's another thing too in school. If you film something and you get caught filming it, you can get suspended too.
Wow. Yeah, Greg, I agree with pretty much everything you said. I mean, I do think that you have to let go of like things that wouldn't happen in the real world, but are more dramatic on film because it's more dramatic. So it's way more exciting to have this big karate war take place during the school day because of something that she said over the intercom versus if she would have just had a regular old fight out in the schoolyard after school or whatever,
or off school property. You still can't even do it out in the parking lot anymore, but because you get in just as much trouble. But yeah, absolutely.
All right, that is our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you enjoyed our Cobra Kai coverage. Thank you to Rima for joining us for this show. I'm glad you wanted to do it.
Oh, thanks for having me. I've had so much fun with you guys. So thank you both for letting me have so much fun with this. It's been great. Thank you.
It was especially great because I like podcasting with you no matter what, but that you're in training in Krav right now, so you could give us that perspective. That was super cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
So if you guys want to write in or record a message, well, we're doing The Mandalorian. We're going to be on hiatus for about 6 weeks here. That's the plan anyway. And then The Mandalorian Season 2 starts on October 30th, and it'll be me and Rich and Chris back covering that show. Super excited. There's a trailer that came out recently. You should totally go on YouTube and check that out if you're interested. It looked really cool. Did you see it, Rich?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I've been kind of like, should I watch it or should I not? Yeah, I guess I'm going to watch it.
It just shows little bits.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think, too spoilery. And you know, you really can't go by trailers nowadays anyway, the way that they cut them. But
I get not wanting to watch trailers, but I think it will stoke your excitement more than anything.
I agree.
But if you do want to write in or record a message and send it, you can email it to us at some email. What was our email?
I can't remember. I can't remember which one you guys kept for Mandalorian.
I don't want to say wax on, wax off. Hold on, I'm going to look it up. Oh, we just used Groovy. So if you want to write in and record a message, because me and Rich and Chris also did Ash vs. Evil Dead, but you can email it to us at groovy@podcastica.com. You can use any Podcastica email, by the way. You can use wax on, wax off if you want.
You get them all.
Whatever. Just get us your messages.
Yeah.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
And be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah, Rima's covering Umbrella Academy on Strange Indeed. During the break, we just did a little business, and now Richard's going to go on there and do an episode with them.
Oh, now you've committed him for sure.
And we're talking about doing some Great British Bake Off in there, so you may see some of that coming up.
Yeah, why not?
All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Whoa, hey, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be in here.
I know what you did, and now you're going to pay for it. I'm coming for you, bitch!